Morning. Good to be here today. We're going to be looking at 1 Samuel in the 17th chapter. Our text was read a few moments ago of David's great victory over the Philistine. All of this, though, really is in connection with another series of lessons that we're thinking about, talking about. And that is the King of Kings. It seems to me to be a natural progression from our study on the kings of Israel to move into this subject of the King of Kings. And last week we were in chapter 16, and this is when Samuel went to Bethlehem and he anointed David to be the king. And so the topic then was the King of Kings, the Chosen One. Our lesson today has to do with the King of Kings, the giant killer. And certainly you can see that in reference to David. And David is a type of the Christ, and there's many things that take place in his life that have a connection with our Lord and Savior. I want to start out by pointing out what should be obvious to us as God's people as we look at this battle that is going on in this chapter between the Philistines and the Israelites. They're not the same. They never were the same. Not only with the Philistines, but any other nation that surrounded Israel, they were not the same. Israel had been chosen by God, chosen in Abraham, and developed throughout the years to be the nation that they had become. And God had admonished them on many occasions not to follow after the other gods and to separate themselves from those nations. And the law itself and its demands made them different than the world that was around them. And what I'm saying to you is that the church and the world is not the same. The new Israel today is the church. It is not like the old Israel in that the old Israel was made up of the physical descendants of Abraham. The new Israel is made up of those, Jew or Gentile, that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and have committed their heart and their way unto Him. But in no way are we like the world. God has called us out and made us different. And the very demands of the covenant that we give our allegiance to makes us different. Sometimes we wonder how the world could be so foolish and how they could teach the things that they teach and do the things that they do, the ugliness that we see. But just stop and think for a minute that they do not have the compass that you have. We have a compass that is pointed toward due north, our Heavenly Father. And He guides us and directs us in all of our ways. But the world has no such standard. They have become their own God. And they do as they please. An arrogance against their Creator. And so I begin this lesson by simply saying there is a difference between the Philistines and the Israelites, and there is a difference today between the people that love the Lord, well, as our song has said, with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind, and love our neighbor as ourselves. Those things we live by, we believe in. The world has no such creed as that. Another thing that comes to our attention when we read this text is the position of the Philistines and the Israelites. The Bible says that the Philistines were gathered together on one side of a mountain and the Israelites were gathered together on the other side of the mountain, and there was a deep valley in between them. And supposedly in this valley was where the war was to take place. I understand today that if you take a tour of that area, they'll take you to the same valley, still there today. You know, there's some things that don't change, like mountains and valleys, still there today. There was a great separation between the two. There is a great separation between the world and God's people. And that separation has taken place because the people and the church have heard about the Lord Jesus Christ and they have obeyed the gospel. You know that the word church means the called out. So you're called out of the world into the kingdom of God. You're still living in the world, but you're called out of the world. You're not of the world anymore. You're in a new kingdom, a spiritual kingdom, and you belong to God. And God sees that separation, and He expects us to respect that separation that He has made by His Son's blood. And not only that, but that separation will last through eternity. The world will have no place in heaven. The church is going to heaven. God is going to come back for the church and the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's going to bring us to heaven, but not the world. You understand there is a distinction, and I say all of this at the beginning to simply say that if you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you're still of the world. No matter how you feel about it, you're still of the world, because only the gospel and the blood of Jesus Christ can make that separation and keep that separation for all eternity. It's going to be great to be in heaven, but you got to be in the right place here to be in heaven in the future. And only the gospel can do that. I think about this passage and I see many things that reminds me of our Lord and of our Savior. One of the first things I see is the giant that was there. Now, I have no way of knowing for sure. Even those who study these type of things say that a cubit could measure anywhere from 18 to 24 inches. So that's pretty good range. But if I take it, and I'm very conservative with those numbers, the giant would be at least over 9 feet tall. So I stand about 6 feet one. So 3 more feet at the minimum. That's a pretty big fella. And I don't imagine that he was a skinny dude. And I say that because of the weapons that he had. Did you know that the point on his spear, the point alone, weighed anywhere from 18 to 25 pounds? It was on the end of a weaver's beam. And the Bible tells us that the armor that he has on was anywhere from 75 to 125. Again, I'm being on the conservative side when I say it was about 80 pounds that he wore. A skinny dude is not going to carry that around. So he's over 9 feet tall, he's broad, he's strong. Not only that, but the Bible says he had been a warrior from his youth. And he was a champion among not singular army, but armies of the Philistines. In other words, when he entered the battlefield, he knew what he was doing. He had been trained to do that. He was a specialist. On the other hand, David was but a youth. And Saul, of course, makes this clear to David when he tries to get him to reconsider and to take his armor with him. I simply say this to say that the giant that took the field that day, and he did so for 40 days, every morning, every evening, he made the challenge. That's a long time to listen to this guy. Everybody was afraid to face him. He was very imposing. He was very intimidating type of figure. The giant. There is a parallel, of course, in what we face today. And sometimes it's different for different people. And some people have had a real giant in their life. And some people still have a real giant in their life. Sometimes that giant, it could be alcohol. It could be drugs. It could be an unfaithful partner. It could be the sickness of a child. It could be on our own personal problems that we struggle with in our own spiritual lives, anger and temper, things that we're trying to overcome so we won't disrupt and destroy others around us. And that's a giant that we face every day in our life. And it seems to us to be much taller than 9 feet tall, very imposing, very intimidating, because perhaps we're not doing so well with this giant. And it makes us boast every day in our life, "You will never defeat me. I will always reign over you." And sometimes we feel like that. This was a giant, literally speaking. But there are spiritual giants that are much bigger than Goliath. and do a lot more damage than Goliath could ever hope to do. And of course, Goliath had a challenge, did he not? He says, here's the deal. Why don't you choose an Israelite to come out and do battle with me? I'll represent the Philistines, and whoever wins, the other ones will become the servants of that other nation. How about that for a deal? Well, Goliath, of course, he's absolutely confident and completely assured in his own mind that there's not a man standing on the other side that could hope to win against him. And I suppose the Israelites felt the same way. But the giant killer, what Goliath did not know, was that the giant killer had already been chosen. You remember the previous chapter in the previous lesson? It was Samuel who came to see Jesse. All eight sons, seven stood before them. None of them would do. And there was a young boy out keeping the sheep, and he says, you bring him here. We won't sit down until he passes before me. He comes in the door, and Samuel says, God whispers in his ear, that's the one. That's the chosen man. And he hardly looked anything even like a man. As young as he was, doing what he was doing. David was just the opposite. He was not an imposing figure by any means. But he had already been chosen. Goliath didn't know that. There's a giant killer that's already been chosen. And so whether you're dealing with alcohol or drugs, the sickness of a child, the unfaithfulness of a mate in your life, whatever you're dealing with in your life, what you're struggling with, your temper, your anger, for your giant, the giant killer has already been chosen. And you look around you today and you see people, no doubt in your own family, and you see people in the church, and you see people out in the world, and they struggle with all these issues, and you're thinking in your heart and your mind, if only you would come to Christ. Christ has the answers. He can solve the problems that you have. But you have to come to Him with all of your heart and with all of your mind, with all of your soul. And you have to accept not only Him as a person, but you have to accept what He has to say. You have to listen to Him. And if only you would do that, your life would be so much better. What they don't know is that the giant killer has been chosen. And from the time that he was chosen to the end of time, it will never change. It will always be Him. Our world is pretty good at coming up with answers. Answers for the moment. They really do nothing for us. And they fade with the passing of time, and then there's a new answer, and a new answer, and a new answer. A new philosophy. And God is saying, I've already chosen the answer. I've already chosen the giant killer, and it's Jesus Christ. The difference He makes in our life. What a wonderful difference He makes in our life. And I suppose that for many of us, especially those who have come to Christ early on in your life, you never really know and appreciate all the things that He saved you from and where you might have been, as the song says, if it were not for Christ. Maybe someday in eternity, He will fold back the pages of time and see where we could have been without Him. Now we can only speculate, but I know this, I'm a lot better off with Him than I would have been without Him. Christ has been chosen. The giant killer is already here. But we've got to make a decision to have Him within our life for that to make a difference. Now the people were already afraid, weren't they? They were terribly afraid. Bear in mind that we're talking here about the Israelites, who are warfaring people at this time. They've been to battle many times. And actually, they had a king who had been pretty successful in his own right, King Saul. Pretty good warrior. But nobody in 40 days, morning and evening, nobody would go out into the valley to face Goliath. There he stood, and each and every one of them thought, I suppose, well, first of all, I'm going to be killed. And second of all, if I'm killed, the rest of my brothers and sisters are going to have to serve the Philistines, so I better not go. Nobody thought they had the answer. They were afraid. And I think with good reason. I cannot imagine this scene in my mind and think that if I was there, my knees wouldn't have been knocking. I think they would have been. They were afraid. They had every right to be afraid of a man like this. It's very intimidating. And I think about Satan, and if only we understood completely who Satan is and what he's capable of and what he has done, I'll tell you what, you would be afraid of the devil without Christ. You should be afraid of the devil. I think about what he has done and the terribleness that has come upon our earth because of him. And right from the very beginning, there's people that's going to say, even Christian people, and I never understand this line of reasoning, but they're going to say, you know, I'm not sure that I believe in a real person or a figure like the devil, like Satan himself. And I can say this, you have just as much right or reason to believe in the devil as you do God. Not belief or trust in the sense of hoping in him, of course not. But in the sense of his existence, because the same Word of God that tells us about God and tells us about his Son and the Holy Spirit and the angels of heaven tells us about Satan. And if it's wrong in one aspect, it could be wrong in the other. But the truth of the matter is, it's not wrong in any of it. There is an individual known as the devil. And I think about the people that he's caused to fall. I'm thinking about the original pair, Adam and Eve, and I'm thinking, they had it made. The place that they were at, does not the Bible say they were in paradise? Doesn't get much better than that. They had it made. And yet Satan was able to convince them that they didn't have it made. And that God was holding something back from them. And they ought to rebel against God. And I think about the Apostle Peter, what a man of God. And yet, Jesus said, you know, Satan would sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you. And it gets Peter to the point where Peter is saying, I don't even know him. And he began to curse and swear and make oaths, I don't know him. And this is a man that walked on water with him. And this is a man that witnessed the resurrection of the dead and all the marvelous things that Jesus did, who said, I'll die for you no matter what. But when Satan got a hold of him, he was tempted and he fell into sin and he denied him. I think about Ananias and Sapphira who tried to deceive the apostles. And it was Peter who said, Satan has filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit. And I'm thinking if Satan could do all of that to people like that, then I better be afraid of Satan. I better understand that he does exist and that he can do harm in my life. And not only that, his chief desire is to keep me separated from my Heavenly Father and send me to hell for all eternity. And you should be afraid of a threat like that. That's not a place you want to go. But there's a giant killer. And the giant killer had already been chosen. The people were all afraid of the giant as he stood out there. You know, the giant killer. He wasn't what they thought. Not the one they would have chosen. He was so different from all of their preconceived thoughts about a giant killer. You know what the giant killer was? He was a servant. You read in the text exactly what was going on. The Philistines were down there. They were in battle array. Israelites were on the other side. They were in battle array. The threats were being made every day for 40 days. And even though Jesse had 8 sons, only 3 of the oldest were down at the front line. I don't know where the other sons were, but I know where David was. David was keeping the sheep. And his father Jesse comes to him and he says, listen, this is what I want you to do. And he got some food together. And he said, I want you to take food to your brothers, your 3 brothers that's down there on the front line. He got some more food together and he said, I want you to take that to the captain of the 1,000. There were many different 1,000, but over each 1,000 there would be a captain, and evidently, and this 1,000 that he's talking about were his 3 sons. And he says, to that captain of that 1,000, I want you to bring him food. And then this chief of all, I want you to bring the news back about the war. Now, many of you have been there. If you've had sons or daughters who've been in a faraway land and perhaps in harm's way, think about World War II and all those who awaited any news whatsoever they could get in the form of a letter of their loved one who was on the front line. Hopefully good news. And so here's a father back at home. He has three sons out there. The only one he feels he can send is this David. And he sends David to get news and to bring the food. And so what was David doing? He was serving. He was doing what he was told to do by his father. Something good about that, is there not? The giant killer. He was a servant. You know, if you had been out there and asked to select one person to be the giant killer, the last person you would have chosen would have been David. He wasn't sitting on a throne. He didn't have on all the instruments of warfare. He didn't seem to be skilled in any of that in any way. He wasn't a leader. He wasn't a captain. He wasn't a sergeant. He wasn't any of those things. He'd be the last person you'd think of choosing. All he was doing was serving. And this is our giant killer. What he does is serves. And Jesus once told his apostles, you know, you're never greater than when you serve. All you're doing is arguing about who's going to be first and who's going to sit on my right hand and my left hand. And I'm telling you, it's not like that in my kingdom. You're never greater than when you serve. And right before he went to the cross, he was in the upper room with them and he was down on his knees and he's washing their feet. And what they don't know is the guy that's washing their feet is the giant killer. They all knew about God. They all knew about Satan. Did they not witness all during the ministry of Jesus those individuals that were possessed by demons? Servants of the giant. This guy washing your feet, hey, he's the giant killer. Doesn't seem likely, but he was. And when you serve God, you're never more powerful than when you do that. There's too much concern about who gets the credit when and where in the church. There's too much concern about who has the most talent when really we need to be concerned about who's a servant, who's willing to go and be available. That's the type of person that Jesus, our giant killer, is looking for. I'll tell you something else I think about when I read this text. You know, what happens when David shows up down there at the front line? David is there at the front line. He's there with all his warriors. He's there with his brothers. And he hears talk like this. You know what King Saul said? King Saul said, if anybody kills the giant, I'll make him extremely rich. Not only that, but I'll let him marry one of my daughters. He'll be married into the royal family. And third, and certainly not least, him and all his family be free from paying taxes. That sounds pretty good, right? He says, that's what I'll do for the man that can kill the giant. David hears that and he says, say what again? And so they repeat it. And so his brothers are over there, especially his eldest brother. And his eldest brother says, why are you asking about this? I know the true reason that you've come down here. You just come down here to see the battle, didn't you? David says, it's like he's heard this type of persecution before from his older brother. He says, what have I done this time? Really, he was just serving. He was doing what his daddy told him to do. Is that not true? He was a man that was rejected by his own. And he was a giant killer. If only his older brother and the other two brothers that were there would have understood, the guy they're talking to is the guy that's fixing to go out there and put this guy to the ground. They didn't understand that. They were still seeing David as their little brother and certainly not capable of a task like this. You should go home. And notice that his brother says, and take care of those few sheep that you're taking care of. Very disrespectful of his younger brother. On a task for his dad to bring him food. Right? You know, the Bible says, and of course Jesus had half-brothers. He had five brothers that are named in the New Testament, and it says they did not believe in him. At least at one point during his ministry, that statement is made. They did not believe in him. How could this guy be the Messiah? I know him. He's in our family. He's my brother. How could he be the Messiah? And in John 1, verse 11, the Bible says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. They rejected him. This is the giant killer that's being rejected. And we're only making things worse for us in our own lives when we're wrestling with these different problems that we're having, spiritual problems we're trying to deal with. We're trying to find the answers. We're really digging deep. But all the time we're rejecting the guy that is the giant killer. And that's what the brothers did back then, and that's what the brothers did with Jesus, and that's what people are doing with him today. He is the answer, though. As he is in the text here, so he is in your life. He is the answer. He can solve your problems. He can take care of your sin. He can rescue you from where you're at. But you got to stop rejecting him. And reject his word is to reject him. He was something about this giant killer, he was an encourager. So King Saul hears about this guy that's asking about his conditions. He says, who is this? Well, this is the son of Jesse. And so he wants to see him. So he comes before King Saul. And the first thing David says to him, don't let your heart be discouraged. This guy who is out here blaspheming God and speaking against God's people, don't worry about him. Don't be discouraged. He was an encourager. You know, a giant killer always is. You're going to do very little good in your life going around and discouraging people. And talking about, and especially to yourself, discouraging yourself, how much bigger your problems are than what God can do. Don't do that. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Did you know that's what the Bible says David did on one occasion as he faced the Amalekites? And all of his men deserted him. And the Bible says that he strengthened himself. He encouraged himself in the Lord. We need to be encouragers. If you're going to be a giant killer, if you're going to help other people deal with the giants in their life, and you're going to deal with the giants in your life, you're going to have to speak a good word. And it's not like we don't have a lot of good words to speak. We have a lot of good words to speak. They come right out of this good book. And God is always encouraging us and strengthening us and helping us because he's a giant killer. And it's done with encouragement. Don't you love Barnabas? The Bible says he's a son of encouragement. And how the apostles used him along that line in his ministry. This giant killer, he spoke with confidence and boldness because he believed in God. So the giant comes out and he says, this is the way it's going to be. He ridiculed David. He says, you come to me today, I want you to know that before the day's over, I'm going to be feeding your flesh to the birds of heaven. Well, this is the way a giant talks, right? Because he's got all the gear, he's got the stature, he's got the experience, he's a warrior from his youth. He says, this is not going to take very long if that's the best Israel can do. You send him to me like you send a man after dogs with sticks? I'll dispense with him in a moment. Well, David has confidence too. And his confidence rests on something a little bit better than what Goliath is resting his confidence on. And David says it's going to be just the opposite of that, don't you know? I'll tell you exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to bring you to the ground. I'm going to cut your head off. My God is going to provide all the strength that I need to accomplish what I need to accomplish. I'm not all that inexperienced. It might be true that I'm over here keeping sheep, but my sheep have been attacked by a lion. They've been attacked by a bear, and I've gone after the bear and the lion, and I've killed those ferocious animals, those very strong, intimidating animals, and delivered the sheep. I do have some experience. And I'll say to you, King Saul, that this man Goliath is going to be just like that lion or just like that bear. This is what I'm going to do. Now, I say that we can say what we're going to do, but based not upon our arrogance, but based upon what the Word of God says we're going to do. And in every way, it gives us confidence. A giant killer talks like this. He is not down and discouraged and depressed. He's not a one who does not believe in the Word of God and its promises. He's one that stands on the promises of God. If you think you can't, you probably can't. If you think you can, all things are possible in Christ Jesus. We can defeat our problems. We can overcome those nasty virtues that we sometimes develop in our life. God can give you the strength to do it. You stay on your knees. You stay before the Word of God. You depend on the giant killer, and that is Christ. He seemed so ill-equipped, did he not? You know, Saul says, here's my stuff. I want you to put it on and go to war. With that, at least you'll have some chance. David puts it on. He walks around for a few moments. And he says, I can't wear this. I've never used this. I've never tested this. This is not what I do battle with when I go against the lion and the bear. Give me my staff. Give me my sling. And give me 5 stones. Goliath had brothers, by the way. He had a stone for each of them. He was ready for everything. He says, this is what I'm used to. I'm not so ill-equipped when I have this and my God. I guess being giant killers, you know, people think we're ill-equipped because what we have is the Word of God. And we got knees to bend before the throne of God. We got prayer. And people think, you know, you're not very well equipped to face your problem. I don't know about that. It seems to me we're very well equipped with what God has given us. And oftentimes what we do is we go out in the world and depend on all those things that the world wants to offer us to overcome the giant. And God says, I've already given you that. I give you my Son. I give you my Word. I give you prayer. I give you the principles to live by, not be a giant killer. David says, that's all I need. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do that. Of course, you know how the story ends. This is, I guess, one of the most well-known stories in the Bible, is it not? And one of the things I like is, you know, the Bible oftentimes pictures things in a very deliberate way. So you can kind of draw a scene in your mind. It says David comes up there to the front line. He's got his equipment, and the Goliath comes out, and he makes his boast. And here goes David. He takes off running to meet the giant. This guy seems to know exactly what he's about to do and very confident in what he's going to do. The Benjamites especially were known for their ability. The Bible says, in throwing a stone with a sling within a hair's breadth. Never entered his mind that he'd miss. He knew exactly what he was going to do. And they could fling a stone beyond the velocity of a bullet. And it would be about that big around at least. And when he threw that thing, it hit its mark right between his eyes. And the Bible says it sunk into his forehead. I'd like to say he never knew what hit him, but I'd like to think that he did. Because he seen David coming. And he fell on his face. David didn't even have a sword, didn't need one. He took Goliath's sword and cut off his head, took the head back with him. The giant killer. Satan has been dealt with. Jesus on the cross, it didn't seem like a victory, did it? But you put him into the ground with a Roman seal for 3 days and watch on the first day of the week and the tomb is empty. You got yourself a giant killer. Because Satan has been dealt with. Oh, death, where is your sting? We're so thankful for Jesus Christ being our giant killer and for showing us the way. He is the King of Kings. The real giant killer. If you've never come to the Lord, we encourage you to come to the one we're talking about. Jesus has the answer. If you need to come, I want to encourage you to come and to confess Him as the Son of God and to be baptized into Christ with the promise that through His blood, all of your sins will be washed away. If you need to come as we stand and as we sing.